Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Remember when 5G was the talk of the town, and then suddenly we had COVID-19, and a lot of, you know, sectors suddenly came to a standstill. 5G kind of has not taken a break because we need it now more than ever.
Yeah, it's still been busily ramped up in the background. Do you recall, actually, last April when the Infocom Media Development Authority, or IMDA, issued licenses to two parties to operate standalone 5G networks across Singapore? One of the two was Singtel, while the other was a joint venture between StarHub and M1.
Yeah, I remember this one. So StarHub has since partnered up with Nokia, and they're currently conducting Southeast Asia's first live 5G non-standalone network, or NSA network, trial across Singapore. And that's going to run until 16th of February next year.
And so what they do, they leverage existing 4G infrastructure. The trial 5G network then allows StarHub to utilize Nokia's end-to-end core and radio solutions to provide higher data bandwidth and reliable connectivity, I love that, to its subscribers without a major infrastructure overhaul.
So basically, startup customers get to enjoy the early benefits of 5G.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And while the trial is expected to run until 16th of February 2021, we've got to ask what kind of challenges it has met with in between.
A very good question that we will ask Daniel Yeager, who is the head of Southeast Asia at Nokia. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Very cool surname, by the way, Yeager. You used to have a lot of Yeager bombs, just saying. Daniel, I want to talk about, sorry, mate. I just want to talk a little bit about Nokia to give some context, because we're talking about Nokia, we're talking about 5G, but I don't know how it was like for you, Manish, back in the UK, but a lot of Singaporeans in the early 2000s, we remember Nokia for the durable 3310 phones or 8520 model phones. You throw it on the floor, it doesn't break.
I frankly think they are the best, but anyway.
They are. Daniel, how has Nokia's business model changed since those days?
I think Nokia's model has changed a bit, but not completely. Indeed, as you said, I think many people know the Nokia brand from the days when we did mobile phones. And as you hinted already, if you are of a certain age, without saying specifically what that age is, you almost definitely did own a Nokia mobile phone at least at one point of your life. Back then, you might recall, it was connecting people. That was the tagline that we used. And that has not changed completely. It has moved forward. And it's not a surprise for a company with a history of more than 150 years. You have to constantly adapt to the needs of the market. But even more important, you have to be the one who's driving the market. You have to be the innovator who invests heavily in research and development, who goes through mergers and acquisitions, gets Nobel Prizes for the innovations, but really to drive the technology.
Yeah,
so what is Nokia today?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's the thing. I fondly remember my 3310, and I fondly remember how much simpler my life was when that was the phone in my pocket. Just pointing out that, you know, we think of it as more simplistic technology. However, of course, in the background, as you're saying, Nokia has been at the forefront of this rollout of 5G because it's all about the network, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what we're focusing on today. So Nokia is building networks, communication networks, and we focus on the reliability and security. So we do have the portfolio for these networks, and that includes equipment, services, and software together. And our customers today are predominantly the communication service providers, operators like StarHub that you have mentioned, and these operators build their networks with the technology that we provide. But it's not limited to operators. We also have a number of governments and enterprises as our customers who likewise build their networks based on Nokia technology. And that's what we do around the world in 120 countries, covering all technologies. But it's not just 5G. Of course, 5G is one of the most important ones right now. But what we have in the portfolio goes way beyond that.
Okay, providing technology. So Nokia and StarHub, you guys are working together for Southeast Asia's first live 5G non-standalone network trial across Singapore. It runs till 16th of February next year. So StarHub obviously is the network. What is Nokia's role in this? What kind of technology are we talking about here that you guys provide?
The roles are clear. StarHub is the operator. We are the kind of technology partner who provides the network. And again, that consists of hardware, of software, and of course of services that we provide. But as you also said, it's a partnership. We do that together. It's not just that somebody goes in the shop, takes something off the shelf, and then plugs it in. That really needs a partnership that in case of StarHub we have for quite some time, where you work closely together, in particular in a phase where you bring something new to the market like this 5G NSA, as you have mentioned before.
Daniel, I'm curious then, more specifically, what does this trial mean for Singapore?
The trial means for Singapore to be the first, for StarHub, it means first to be the first on 5G here. For Singapore, I think it means a couple of things. The first one is, of course, for those consumers and customers like us, we will have a different network experience, and that has started and, of course, will continue to spread out. Indeed, as you said, it's about higher data bandwidth, it's about reliability, it's about higher reliability in the network, and that actually started now. And that's the secret of NSA, that you bring in 5G without exchanging, without overhauling the network completely. That made it possible to do that in relatively short time, while in the background, of course, there's the next phase is then coming for a later and for a deeper 5G experience. But I think beyond the consumer impact that we have, there's, of course, a bigger picture. If you think about enterprise, if you think about a smart nation, there's a lot that this 5G network and other 5G networks in the future as well will enable.
I wondered about that, actually, Daniel, because I want to understand, I want to drill this down even more. I want to understand, from me, as a resident here of Singapore, what does that mean in terms of my experience of the network? What can I look forward to?
Sure. Can I just take this as a quick question and talk about 5G for a second?
Sure.
Because there's a couple of differentiators, that, and some are more obvious than others, from 5G compared to previous standards like 3G and 4G, of course. So the first thing is 5G is giving you and every one of us more bandwidth and more capacity. And that, of course, means more data and faster data for whatever you do, no matter if it's streaming, downloading, video conferencing, gaming, and so forth. That's what we call enhanced mobile broadband, and that's the most obvious difference that we have, and that's why people are excited about 5G. But again, that's the first one that you would see. There's two others. One is about latency, which might not be important for all of us. It's not important for the three of us when we talk to each other right now, but it is important for people who like to game, like my daughter, for who it is very important to have a few milliseconds less delay when she's doing her gaming. But it also matters for industrial applications of 5G, because also there, higher precision makes a huge impact, and that will allow the manufacturing industry to embrace 5G. And the last one is, that is already a bit linked to that, that while 4G was made for us humans to talk to each other, we can still do the same on 5G, but actually 5G is much more designed also for things to communicate with each other. And that could be devices, that could be sensors, applications, or whole systems. So there's really a whole lot of things that 5G will make possible. Some of them, as you asked rightfully, from today, but others will take time to develop, but definitely will bring quite some change or additional experiences for all of us.
Daniel, how long has this trial been going on for?
This trial started roughly a month ago, and as you rightfully said, it's stretching into next year, while in parallel we work with StarHub on the next phases of 5G to come then after.
Very timely, because, you know, we still, while things are improving in Singapore, we still have directives that work from home is still the default. I'm curious to ask about the challenges that Nokia and StarHub have faced in this trial so far, and I know it's only been a month, but are you seeing that it helps with the work from home situation that a lot of companies are still going through?
I think it's a bit too early, as you rightfully said, to really see a mass impact. There's, of course, the usual challenges that you have when you bring something new to the market, but I think we have mastered that very well. But I think what you also said in the beginning introduction is very valid. I think the whole COVID situation has just shown how important it is to have reliable networks, and it can be a fixed network, it can be a mobile network like 5G, and probably we will not come back to the way of working before, where we go to the office every single day. So this peak, what was seen, let's say, as a peak demand on the networks might not go away. And actually, we see that from operators, not just here in Singapore, but in many, many places, are getting prepared for just having stronger networks for the way forward, because they expect that this demand will continue and people will continue to use a lot of video conference. Just to give one example of a service that is, of course, very, very demanding on the network.
We're speaking to Daniel Yeager. He is head of Southeast Asia for Nokia. Daniel, one of the obvious questions that's come up a lot recently in the headlines is around the security of networks. Now, we see this conversation manifest in many different ways, but when it comes to 5G rollout and obviously the current trial, how high is security on your agenda?
it's very, very high on our agenda by definition, but we also see it's very, very high on the agenda of all our customers. As I said before, there's a lot of network technologies that we have in our portfolio and that we supply to our customers. But indeed, you are perfectly right. The demand on the security in 5G is higher than in any of the others, which also makes a lot of sense and is understandable from the services that operators want to put on these 5G networks. If it's not just nice people talking to each other, but actually factories or factory processes will be controlled through that 5G, just for one example, or 5G will play a strong role in government services provided to every citizen, then, of course, it's even more important to ensure that that this is all properly properly secured and governed.
Yeah, and I suppose you mentioned earlier the Internet of Things and how more and more devices are coming online. This is one of the reasons we need 5G. But then there are consumers who are saying, well, I'm not sure how I feel about the idea that I'm even more exposed. Should consumers be concerned?
I think it's, of course, fair that people are asking questions all the time. I think we should all do that. But I really believe, and we have seen that in many discussions and interactions, both with the operators but also with the regulators, that, as you mentioned, the IMDA before, of course, is very keen on those aspects as well. So I believe there's a good network in place that is looking at these aspects and really making sure that there is a tight control from a security point of view.
Daniel, two questions, and this is looking at a Southeast Asia perspective. One, is the plan, the rollout plan, does it have to be different across different countries in Southeast Asia? And two, how big does Singapore's Smart Nation vision, how big a part does that play in this trial in the rollout of 5G here in Singapore?
Okay. On your first question, so if from a Nokia point of view in the Asia-Pacific region, we have today 13 5G operators as our customers already. We have launched networks in Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand. As you can imagine, we are talking to many other operators in other countries. And indeed, it's not a one-size-fits-all. There's really a very very wide range of different options that operators choose, both in the way they launch, but also in the way that they plan to ramp it up and to roll it out, also depending, of course, on the situation in the country in terms of demand, in terms of revenue that that the users generate. So it's really very specific in that way that we work together with our operator customers, and that's why networks indeed will look very different, as well as the services that they are providing on top of those networks. To your second question, Elliot. I think the network here, and you said that before, is the basis. We're building a network that starts and that, of course, will grow over time. That network does not have all the services on it, of course, from day one. But I believe that a 5G network like this, and we've seen this in other places, is indeed the basis for a very strong smart nation approach that you have here, where the government is very very convinced and very very solid and determined on its approach to invest here. And the network is the basis. There was a smart, I believe, tagline that we used some time ago, which was that every success has its network, because every success in this case, no matter if it's a smart nation or a successful business, needs the network as a basis. But as I said, that will take, of course, time and the development and evolution to have all these services on the network, but the network is the basis for that.
Yeah, speaking of the future, actually, one of the words that's coming up a lot in headlines recently is the idea of a splinter net, isn't it? Because of all of these political difficulties between the US and China and the future of 5G rollout. Do you think that this is a reality?
Of course, there's a lot of politics and geopolitics going on. I think there's a couple of scenarios how things can develop. I'm a bit careful in predicting the future here. For us, it's always, for me personally, it's always more important to focus on what we can control. And there we have a lot of interesting projects that are from customers, where we work with these customers, like StarHub that we mentioned before, to make them successful in the market. And, of course, with the common goal in mind to provide interesting services to the end users, no matter if this is an enterprise, a government, or a consumer like we are.
And can I just ask, what do you hope you will have achieved by the end of this trial, which, as we said before, runs until the 16th of February 2021?
We'll be very happy when we have at the end of this trial a lot of customers on these networks, and customers that are happy on it, customers that realize realize the potential that 5G will offer them, and that these customers will be as excited as we are about the future that that 5G holds.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're all going to benefit from this. Really looking forward
Absolutely.
To it. We've been speaking with Daniel Yeager, who is head of Southeast Asia at Nokia. Daniel, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.